welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12. The Lord Jesus has endured and successfully come through his temptation by Satan. And the Lord, God the Son, having become a man, it was necessary that he be tempted even by Satan himself. And Satan could not resist. And it was necessary, and that's all in the hand and predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God to accomplish that. Jesus did not yield to the temptation of Satan. And so we see here in verse number 12 that when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so we see here the coming to a close of John's ministry, and of course ultimately he was killed by Herod, and beheaded by Herod, and Jesus making his headquarters there in Capernaum on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and a fulfilling of Scripture where this region that had been besieged and taken over, Galilee, by the Gentiles, that in that forgotten place, that place considered even a desolate and of no value by the Jews, those down in Jerusalem, and Israel, the divided kingdom, Israel having fallen first, and then Judah falling second, there was despising of that. And of course, Israel was dispersed, those 10 northern tribes, they were dispersed and taken by the Assyrians and others. And so now, there's even contempt of their own people of this land of Galilee, and that's where it's speaking of, what's speaking about there, the land of Zebulun, which is one of the tribes, Naphtali, one of the tribes, by way of the sea, up around the Sea of Galilee, beyond Jordan, the River Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It had been given over to the Gentiles because of their occupation. Even now the Romans occupy this land. There's great light shining in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, "And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." There was no hope there because of the ultimate punishment of God by of Israel because of her sins against him. And the desolation that's at hand is just a result of that. There's been 4 years of silence until John the Baptist came preaching. No word from the Lord, and now the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, becoming flesh, is at hand. And so great light indeed. Jesus' message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of your sins before God, and believe and trust in the gospel, in the Savior, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. Verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So now the Lord Jesus, we have this this beginning of the building of his church. It's nothing more complex. Any that believe that the Lord's church started on the day of Pentecost is way too late. It's a misunderstanding of what the Lord's church is. Jesus is building his church as he promises in this same book. He's building his church as he says to these disciples of John, to come and follow him. John had prepared a people, made a people ready for the Lord. And so now Jesus is going about gathering them, starting his church there on the seashores of Galilee. "And they straightway," verse 20, "left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And so we see Peter and Andrew and James and John, and these men are going to become apostles, and that's the reason that it is written about, is because these are men prominent in that first church, going to be given and appointed by the Lord to be the first leadership in the church after the Lord's ascension. And so he called them, verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went out about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And so that's what Jesus does. He goes to the place of worship, the place of teaching, to the synagogues, and he goes to one after the other after the other, and he heals and he teaches and he speaks with authority like no man had ever before, and he is proclaiming the word and gospel of the kingdom of God and his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection being foretold, just like it was of John, and John's baptizing, so the Lord is telling that. And so he's healing. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and so that's to the east, northeast, and they brought to him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, even those possessed were being brought to Jesus. And those which were lunatic, they were damaged in their minds and of terrible, strange, odd behavior, not normal behavior. And those that had the palsy, paralyzed even, and he healed them. He heals them all. There's not a one they can bring to Jesus that he can't heal. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And so people up north, and then this region of Decapolis, if my memory serves me correct, is to the east of the Jordan. I believe that that's correct, from the region of Decapolis, either north or east, and from Jerusalem, which we understand where that is, and from Judea, which is that region that includes Jerusalem, and from beyond Jordan, which is the other side to the east, going towards more of the east, more towards in that day Syria and former, what had been known as Babylonia and such as that. People are coming from all over. Chapter 5. So now we come to this chapter, and in chapter 5, and here we're going to see something and hear something that, if you will, is it's different but the same. It's different, but the same. Our Lord Jesus is going to preach here what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. The first recorded message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning of his ministry. And, this preaching he does all over, and many of these things we see even repeated in the scriptures. But what Jesus is doing is, this is going to be a theme in the Sermon on the Mount. He is going to say, you've heard this said, but I say unto you. You've heard this said about the law of God, but I say unto you. As it's declared by the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of his ministry, he spoke with authority, not as the scribes did, but as one that had authority. He is saying, this is my word. This is the Father's word. This is the law as God had given it. It's been taken, and men, the leaders amongst the Jews, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they've taken the word of God and they've made it what they believe it should be. But Jesus says, you've heard this, but I say unto you, this is really the way that it is. And so let's go here into Matthew 5, pardon me, verse number 1. And hear the teaching of our Lord. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And so we believe the multitudes are here, and then the disciples, those that the Lord has called and said, come follow me, they're there in front of him. And he opened his mouth, it says here in verse number 2, and taught them, saying. So he's teaching his disciples, and the multitudes are there also. So they're hearing the Lord's teaching. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. No spirit, no salvation. And it is thus just those indeed that the Lord saves, the poor in spirit, those that have no spirit. We naturally, in our fallen state and because of sin, we have no spirit within us. And the poor in spirit and those that understand that and repent of that and are brought to see that, it is they, the repentant and the believing in Christ, that receive the Spirit of God within. The Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of the Lord, is indeed a definition of salvation. And what is it to the poor in spirit that know it? See, there are many that don't know that they're poor in spirit. Many, many, many believe that they're A-OK the way that they are. But those that know and come to see that in them themselves they are poor in spirit, the Spirit of God is given unto them by repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the poor in spirit, blessed are they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, the reward of the Lord unto the poor in spirit that know it and that are saved by the Lord is the entire kingdom. As the Lord says in the Gospels and to his church, children, a little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so, those that would be seen as poor and lowly in the world by virtue of being saved by the Lord Jesus will be given all of the kingdom of God. It's his design. It's his purpose and what he has chosen to do. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm taking the tack here with this, these beatitudes, as they're called, these blessings. I'm taking the tack with these in regards to the salvation of sinners. And so when we see that outline here indeed, no spirit, that's the way the sinner is, lost and undone without Christ. And then we see here those that mourn over their sin, those that mourn in sorrow for the wickedness that's at hand, the condemnation duly deserved by the Lord, we all deserving an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Our sin is wretched and miserable, and it's done that to us. It has caused us to lose in our father Adam that great estate of fellowship with God that he had there in the garden, and that is to be mourned over because sin is wicked and terrible indeed and against God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, comforted indeed by the Lord. Being taken from being a wicked alien against God, one separated from God by our sins, and be brought to be a child of God, and to be comforted indeed by a Savior and our Heavenly Father. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.